Welcome to the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett. If you employ staff, engage contractors, or rely on people to help deliver your products or services, you're in the right place. Join us each week as we dive in to uncover what makes people tick, learn the best strategies and tactics to build an amazing team, and most importantly, discover how you, the business owner or leader, can unleash the power of your people to help create the successful business you deserve. Let's get started. Hi there, welcome to episode number 35 of the People Powered Business Podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Christy Lee. Thanks so much for joining me here on the podcast today. How are you? I hope whatever you're up to, you are having an amazing week. And I just wanted to let you know, I really appreciate the time you spend with me here on the podcast each and every week. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much. Your support is truly appreciated. And if this is the first time that you're listening to the podcast, welcome. It's fabulous to have you here. I really appreciate your time and I hope you get great value out of this really practical episode that I'm bringing you today. Now, if you do enjoy this episode or if you've been enjoying listening to the podcast, I would be so super grateful if you could leave us a rating and a review over on Apple Podcast. It really helps others to know whether this podcast is also for them and a little bit about what they might get there in the podcast. So if you are enjoying it, please take a moment and head over to Apple Podcast and leave us a rating and review. And I would be eternally grateful for that. So let's dive into today's episode. And in today's episode, we are going practical, like I just said, and we're talking about some must-ask interview questions. Now, back in episode number 19 of the podcast, and if you haven't heard that episode, I will link it up in today's show notes so you can grab it there. But back in episode 19, I discussed with you some interview questions that I believe are a complete and total waste of time, things I think you should not be asking at interview. And in that episode, I offered some alternative reframes, some other alternative questions that would be far more beneficial to you getting information out of applicants within the interview process. So I shared five really common interview questions that are a complete waste of time and that give you no value in learning about the applicant and their suitability for your position. But I shared with you five alternative reframes to those types of questions. Now, five questions, that's a little taster, but I'm getting so many people ask me lately for what questions they should be asking at interview, how they can frame the questions to get information that's actually going to tell them whether the applicant is right for the role. I'm hearing from people that are frustrated because they've gone through a recruitment process and the applicant hasn't worked out. And when they've thought back, what came out at interview was not what transpired in reality in the job, and they've identified that perhaps they didn't ask the right questions or didn't ask enough questions or the right types of questions. And of course, if you've been through a recruitment process that did not work out in the past, you'll know that's a pain and you don't want to be redoing that again. So if you can figure out where you got it wrong or what you could do better to improve the result next time, of course you're going to focus in on that. And getting the interview right is so much part of that process. So this is something I've been getting asked a lot about. So I thought I'll do an episode on the questions that I think are really important to us. Now, of course, it's not an exhaustive list. We could talk all day long about potential interview questions, and some of you may have some, insight and advice as to what's worked for you. And I know some people use some really, weird and wonderful interview questions, and there's always meaning behind them. So this is not an exhaustive list. It is my top 10 of things that I think are great to include, but you will want to include others as well, depending on you, depending on your culture, depending on the position. So this is just a list of a core 10 that would get you started at the very least. And I want you to remember going through that process that the interview is not the only tool available to you when you're hiring staff. I do firmly believe that the interview is probably the most important part of the hiring process. It gives you the most valuable information and really lets you connect with the applicant that's potentially going to join your team. But it's not the only thing. It's not a standalone solution. It should be used as part of a mix of techniques and tactics and strategies in order for you to select the best possible applicant for your organization for that particular role. So when you're hearing these questions and you're considering how you're going to conduct interviews, I want you to think about what else you are using to make your interview decision. Are you using some group dynamics work? Are you testing and assessing, looking at previous examples of their work? Are you doing reference checks, which you know I'm a big fan of? And what else are you doing to form your decision? Because it shouldn't only be about the interview. Because one of the things we know about interviews, and I guess it's just like a test at school, is that people get nervous. Everyone isn't always at their best at interviews. So if you use this as your only tool, then you may be missing out on some gold in your candidate shortlist. Because some people will be amazing at interview and they'll sell you on all of their skills, and the person after them is terrible at interviews because they get so frightfully nervous. They stumble over their words. They don't present themselves in the best light. And so they position themselves, if you're only using the interview, as not as good for the role. But by using a range of other tools as well, the cream will really rise to the top and you'll know who's best for your position. So think about this as just one tool in the kit for you to use as you're going through the hiring process. And aside from the actual questions we ask at interview, and I'm going to dive into those top 10 really soon for you, but when you're framing up the other questions that you may want to layer into your interview process, I wanted to give you a few pieces of advice that I'd like you to think about when constructing those other questions and, in fact, your entire interview process. And so here are the things that I think are really good to think about when you're constructing your entire interview. The first thing I want you to really think about, and honestly, this is something that I don't think many people do think about when they're putting together their interview questions, I want you to really think about the reason why you are asking each and every question. If you're not clear on the reason why you're asking the question, it's likely that you're either not going to get the response that you're actually seeking, or that it's just going to be a complete waste of time. There has to be a reason for each and every question. Some of them are going to be very surface level, very basic reasons, and that's fine. Some of them are going to be much deeper reasons why you're asking that question. But for every question, if you've got a list you're ready to go into interviews, I want you to look at that list with this frame of reference in mind. Firstly, why are you asking each and every question? And make sure you've got a really clear idea of that. It will actually help you listen to the answers better as well, to make sure you're hearing what you actually need to hear. What is actually important in the answer? What is it that you're trying to elicit in this answer? Are you actually trying to learn whether they technically can do these particular tasks, or are you looking to understand what they have learnt from a particular scenario? What is actually important in the answer? Perhaps the actual answer itself isn't that important, but it's their confidence in recalling the information. It's their ability to show how they've learnt from the process. It's their ability to demonstrate that they can acknowledge when they did something wrong and how they'd avoid doing that again. So really think clearly about what is actually important within the answer. And of course, you may want to be thinking about how they answer the question. Now, here I'm talking about that face-to-face, and even if it's on Zoom, which lots of you are doing these days, you can still absolutely do this, how they answer the question. Do they suddenly get fidgety? Does their tone of voice change? Are you noticing changes in their body language when they're answering these questions? Do their voice go a little higher, a little lower? Does it change pitch? All of these things are subtle signs that you need to look out for. If a candidate who has been super confident throughout the interview suddenly gets very uncomfortable, starts to maneuver around in their seat, you know, tap their fingers, all of those little signs may mean they're uncomfortable answering this question, which might indicate a number of things. One, they're not confident. Two, they don't know the answer. Three, they're concerned about you finding out something that they maybe don't want you to find out. But all of these little nuances are really, really important. And you can absolutely observe these via video, which we're all using more and more these days, as well as face-to-face. But I know many people still prefer that face-to-face in order to really read this how they're answering the question component. And of course, lastly, you need to consider if they actually answered the question that you asked. You'd be surprised how often it doesn't happen and people don't pick up on it. What does that mean? Well, they could be avoiding answering the question. They may have failed to properly listen and sort of complicate the question, but were too afraid to ask you to repeat it or to reframe it. They may be avoiding detail that they don't want to share with you. They may just be not paying attention or not listening. And that's also something you want to kind of just track in your mind if you're noticing that as a theme throughout the interview. And if they didn't answer the question that you asked, don't be afraid to go back and re-ask it. If you need an answer, because that's part of your framework, don't be afraid to re-circle back to that question and ask that question again if you didn't get the answer that you were seeking in terms of them not actually answering the question at all. So overlay that framework. Why are you asking the question? What's actually important about the answer? How are they answering the question? And are they actually answering what you're asking? And that will really give you a great over guide, no matter what questions you ask in interview, to give you that framework for better understanding the applicants. Now, before we dive into the top 10 questions that I want to share with you, I thought I should first share with you things that you should already know before you go into the interview, because some of you otherwise might be thinking, why is she not suggesting that this is one of our top 10 questions? So here are some things that I want you to know in your pre-screening before you even consider sitting down with this person for an interview. Number one, now this is a big one, and I know many of you don't like having this discussion early, but if you've heard the podcast before, you'll know that I recommend this. You need to know their expectations around salaries, benefits, and conditions. There is zero point interviewing an applicant if you don't know this information, because it might be completely out of the ballpark for both them and you if there's a mismatch in this expectation. And I want you to find this information out before you share with them anything about your budget for the role, because otherwise they're going to tailor their answers to what they think you want to hear, and it may actually not be the truth for them. So you need to know that information before you even invite them in for an interview, because there is no point interviewing them if they are looking for a salary well beyond what you're ever going to offer. You're only setting yourself up for heartache, in fact, because if they're seeking a really high salary and you still interview them anyway, and you love them and you think they're fabulous and you really want to hire them, but you don't have the budget, you're just setting yourself up for heartache. So make sure you know that before you invite them in for an interview. You want to know some really basic things like, are they available for the days and hours you need them to work? Again, really important. No point bringing them in if that's going to be a problem. Have they met all of your must-have criteria? If you heard our episode on screening resumes, you'll know that this is a real key focus in your screening process. So you'll have 3 to 5 must-have non-negotiable criteria. Have they met those? Have you discovered any gaps in their resume? And if so, investigate the reasons for this before you bring them in for interview. Now, quite often there is a really innocent explanation for gaps in resumes, possibly traveling back when that was an option, possibly, you know, having children, obviously, you know, sometimes caring for a family member who was very unwell at the time. There's lots of reasons that people would have gaps in their resume that are really fine, but there's also lots of reasons that people have gaps in their resume that might cause some alarm bells. So I want you to investigate those well before you even invite them in for an interview. Okay, now that we've got all that out of the way, let's get into these questions. As I said, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are my top 10 that I recommend you do include in all of your interviews. The first one is this, and you can reframe it a couple of different ways, but the question is, why did you apply for this position? Or you could ask, why do you want to work here? It seems like a really simple question, but it will give you so much great insight into the candidate's motivations and the real reasons they applied for the role. So as an example, they may say, I applied for the role because it's really close to home and convenient. That doesn't give you any buy-in as to whether they actually want to work for your business or if they got another role down the road just as close with an industry that they are really passionate about that they wouldn't leave in 3 weeks' time. So are they just throwing resumes out there blindly, or is there a genuine alignment with their desires and your role? And applicants often struggle with this question, if I'm really honest, but you'll find very quickly those that have a genuine alignment with your position. Those that say, well, I read in the ad that the role involves X, Y, and Z, and I'm super passionate about helping customers, and I can see how I'm going to be able to do that in this role, or I'm really interested in the health and fitness industry, and I've been looking for a role in this industry for a long time, and this is a great opportunity. You can see there that they're very different answers to, it's just down the road from home and really convenient, or I'm looking for something that's part-time and this role's part-time, because that's very superficial reasons. It's not close enough to your values to show that alignment. Number two, why did you leave your last role and I ask this for every previous role on their resume. This question gives you a real insight into patterns of behavior with an applicant. If they are consistently leaving roles every 2 years because they're no longer feeling challenged or bored, you know you're going to have that pattern in your workplace, or how are you going to combat that in your workplace? If they're consistently leaving roles because they were having issues with managers or colleagues, the common denominator is not every other business, it's them. So you're going to have the same issues in your workplace. Are they consistently leaving because there was no room for growth? And if so, do you have room for growth for them, or are you going to be facing them leaving in a couple of years for the same reason? So what you're looking for in asking this question is, are there any patterns of behavior? And if so, how does that relate to your business? And is it going to pose a problem for you? Number three, if I was to ask your previous managers to describe you at work, what would they say? The best thing about this question is that you can actually check the truth of the answers in your reference checks, which is kind of handy. It also shows how much self-insight the individual has when you have the answer to this question and then you ask it at a reference check as well, to see how realistically they view themselves. This gives you a different answer to asking what a friend or a family member thinks, which you can also ask that question as a sort of comparative question, but it really gets them to put their mind in their workplace or in their previous workplace and tell you what they actually think their manager thought about them. And they'll use words like, they would say I was very loyal, and that shows that that's a real value of theirs and they're proud of sharing that with you, that I was a really hard worker, that I worked great in a team. So it will tell you a little bit too about the values that they're most proud to share with you. So there's some underlying benefits aside from the direct comparative with the reference check available there. Number four, and again, you can reframe this in different ways, but what was the best job you ever had and why? Or which company did you enjoy working for most and why? And this question really allows you to explore what they love in a workplace. And it will highlight things that might be problematic in your workplace. So if they refer to a workplace that they loved working in and everything about that had to do with the team that they were a part of, and you're recruiting for a role that's a work from home remote position, this may be a challenge because this person loves being part of a team, or they wouldn't have quoted that position as their favorite. Conversely, they may say that they loved a particular role because they had complete and total autonomy. There was no need to sort of even check in with their manager. They just could do their work, you know, how and when they liked, basically. If your role's a bit more structured than that and you're going to want them to be more accountable on a more regular basis, that might be a challenge for them. That may not suit their natural style of work that they enjoy. So you're really looking for the environments that they love and thrive in, and does that match your environment? If it does, you're in a head start position, so that's great. But if there are red flags here, do investigate them a little bit further. Number five, why should we hire you as opposed to another applicant? This is a really tough question for them to answer, and it's a great one because you're looking to get out of them what makes them unique. What's their secret superpower that they can bring? Now, you can rephrase this, of course, in a number of different ways. Why should we hire you for this role? You don't have to put as opposed to another applicant, or what unique skills do you think you can bring to this role? There's different ways to frame it, but what you're looking to get here is what makes them special for this role. What do they think they could bring that no one else could? And it could be something that you straight away identify with as something that you really want in your business. So it can really tell you whether you're onto a star here with this particular answer. Number six is a really obvious one, and I'm hoping many of you are already using this. What do you know about our company? At the surface level, how much research have they done before they walked into the interview? And if people aren't, you know, most applicants these days are smart enough to be doing some research. If they've done no research, red flag. If they've done some research, but they really just are rattling off some bare bones basics, I want you to really listen to their level of enthusiasm and genuine interest. I've been in interviews with clients before where applicants have said, you know, listed the product range and they'd clearly done some research. But then the next applicant has said, well, I was reading about, you know, the company history on the website, and I really loved the fact that you took over this company at this point in time and you've turned it around and you're on a real growth trajectory, and I'm really interested in being involved in a growing business. That's such a different answer to, well, I know that you have X, Y, and Z products and that you supply the market in the Sydney area. That's, you can see the emotional connection between those two answers is very different. And we know that emotional connection is what creates engagement. So the answer around, I've read this background and I was really excited about the growth trajectory and I'm looking to join a growing team, had such a different pull to that answer. So you're looking to know, firstly, have they done their research at the base level? And secondly, what's their level of interest and enthusiasm around the values of the company and around the things that are important to you and your team members moving forward? Number seven. Now, this is one that I don't see asked often, but I really like to ask it. And I will ask this probably earlier on in the interview and certainly before I discuss anything about the company with them or about the role with them. So I'm asking this before giving them any insight into the position. And this is the question. What are the three most important things for you in the company you're going to join and or the position you're going to take on? I'm asking them what are the three criteria that are most important to them. Now, it could be location, for example. It could be flexibility. It could be challenge. It might be the opportunity to work as part of a great team. This is a great question to test, not to test, but to really get an idea of their values. The three most important things to them, it will tell you straight away their motivations. If it is salary, location, convenience, they're in it for the short term. No doubt about it, because the next time a role comes up with better salary, location, and convenience, off they go. If they're in it for being able to be close to home whilst being part of a great team and use the skills that they've developed throughout their career, that's a different ballgame, because the location is the one convenient factor, but the other things are much more intrinsic. They've built up this skill set and perhaps they've gone off and had children and they don't want to lose all these skills that they've built, but they need to be able to use those in a way that now works with their new family lifestyle environment, as an example. If they're looking to, you know, being part of a team is number one. Are you able to offer that? Because if not, they will not stay around. So it's not about the benefits you offer or anything else. It's about their key desires and motivations about the type of company they want to work for and the role they want to take on. And we know that our younger generations in the workplace are really, really passionate about working for purpose-driven organizations. So they may very well give answers like, it's important to me that the company I work for is, environmentally savvy and really looks after the environment. That's just one example, but they're always looking for a purpose-driven organization. And you'll hear that in their answers. And you really need to think about whether the alignment is there for your business and that person. So it's an interesting question to ask, but it really gives you an idea. Are their motivations high-level convenience-based, or are they more deep-seated? And if so, is the match right? Number eight. Now, this is not a specific question, but rather a style of question that I would encourage you to always work into your interviews. And this is behavioral-based questions. So behavioral-based questions are questions where you're asking the applicant to relay information about a previous scenario that they've experienced in the workplace and to unpack that in some detail for you so that you can understand how they might act in the same scenario in your workplace. So you're looking for their past behavior to predict their future behavior in these questions. So you want to be constructing these around tasks, behaviors, experiences, scenarios that will pop up in this role in your workplace. So let's say this is a customer service position and you know that from time to time, of course, you're going to get an irate customer on the phone because, you know, it happens. You'll ask them about a time when they've dealt with a really aggressive or challenging or irate customer. You'll ask them, tell me about the scenario. How did you handle it? What did you do? What was the outcome or how did you get it resolved? And what would you have done differently if you had your time again? Now, the answers to these questions tell you a whole range of things. Firstly, how do they deal with an irate customer? Now, if they didn't deal with it well, and you heard that part of the answer, when they come around to what would you do differently next time, that's the real juicy part of this question. Because if they've demonstrated their ability to learn from what didn't go well and how they would do it differently next time, this person can learn. You can teach them things. And that is a skill we want in every single employee in our business. But perhaps they've done it brilliantly. And that's great because you know that if faced in the same scenario at your workplace, they'll be able to cope and manage it. So you're looking at not only how they've actually dealt with it, but what they learnt from the process. And they're talking you through their process of dealing with that person in that irate customer. And you can then sense whether their approach works in your business or whether you would have to do some training around that. Now, how many behavioral-based questions you want to throw into an interview really depends on you and the role and you know, how valuable you think they are. But I think 3 is a good number, but you certainly might want more. But I wouldn't suggest throwing 10, you know, behavioral-based questions through an interview because they're quite exhausting for the candidate. They really have to think quite hard and really construct an answer on the spot with these ones. So having too many of them can really give everyone a bit of interview fatigue, which will mean that the whole interview process won't go as brilliantly as it could. So behavioral-based questions number 8 is definitely what I think you should load into every single interview. Okay, number 9, this is quite similar to our behavioral-based questions. This is values-based questions. So again, this is a type of question rather than a specific question. And it will differ, of course, depending on your organization's values. But you really want to understand how to elicit responses from a candidate that are going to tell you whether they share the same values as you. So for example, if one of your core values in your business is collaboration, you might ask a similar style of question to a behavioral-based question and ask something like, has there been a time where you had to work on a project with someone you didn't get along with or who wasn't pulling their weight? What did you do? Now, they may not have actually been through that scenario, and that's okay when you're asking values-based questions. You can ask them to imagine the scenario. So imagine that you had to work on a project. It was someone you either weren't getting along with or they weren't pulling their weight. What would you do? And it will show you how well they collaborate in those scenarios and also whether collaboration is actually something they're interested in and whether they value. So another one might be honesty. Can you think of a time when you had to deliver information that you knew the person didn't want to hear and had to make the choice as to whether to be 100% honest or to, you know, sugarcoat it a little? And what did you do? And again, if they haven't got a specific scenario in mind, you can just ask them to put themselves in those shoes and ask them what they would do. So if being 100% honest all the time is one of your values, and this person said, oh, look, I really hate delivering that kind of news, I'd probably sugarcoat it a little bit. Perhaps they don't have a great values alignment with you. And this is really important that you try and get some of this information out. It's not the easiest information to gather. It's not as simple as tell me about your experience using Microsoft Excel, obviously, but it is so much more important because a values misalignment will lead to a short-term employment arrangement every single time. You would have heard me say this before. You can have the most technically brilliant person in your business, but if the values are not aligned, they will not be there long term and they will not go that extra 10% to give you their all. So it is so important to try and elicit some of this values work throughout the interview for you. And the last one I have for you is number 10, and it's simply this, and I'm hoping you're already using this in your interviews. What questions do you have for me? You want to give the applicant an option to ask questions, and you want to hope that they have some questions prepared. If they get to the end of the interview and they have 0 questions for you, one of a couple of things has happened. Perhaps you've been exceptionally thorough and genuinely they have no questions, but more than likely they're not all that invested in this, or they're turning up but they're not really keen on the role, or they really just haven't invested in the whole interview process because applicants are savvy these days. They come to the interview with a list of questions quite often. And sometimes they ask really good questions and it's really insightful, but sometimes it's purely logistical questions and that's okay too. But give them an opportunity to ask questions and really consider the types of questions that they're asking. If an applicant is asking a lot of questions around logistics and hours and flexibility, why would they be asking that at an interview? It means that that's really important to them. Are you going to be that flexible? Because this person is obviously going to be wanting to tap into flexibility and perhaps wanting to not work beyond the hours that they've committed to. And that might be great for you, but if that's not your expectation, listen to those questions that they're asking because it may give you a real insight into what's going to be important to them at work and what they're going to have in terms of an expectation at work. So that is my list for you of the top 10 must-ask interview questions. It's not exhaustive. It is a starting point, and I absolutely encourage you to take those and build on them and make them work for your organization. Consider the why you're asking the question, what you're trying to get out of the question, and how the applicants are answering that as well. The why and the what for me are fundamental to making sure that you're getting great information. And the other key thing is in interviews, make sure you're asking open-ended questions the majority of the time. So these are questions that are not yes, no, or A or B questions. These are questions that are designed to get applicants talking, because that's what you want. You want them opening up. You want to get to know them a little better. You want them to be communicating so you can sense their communication style, and open-ended questions do that for you. And amongst all everything else, make sure you're consistent. Ask the same questions to each and every applicant, but if any one applicant says something you think, well, that's interesting, I want to know more about that, don't be afraid to dig deeper, because there could be a red flag or there could be a piece of gold that you're about to discover. But follow your gut, and where you feel you need to dig deeper, do that. Keep going on that question, ask a follow-up question, or reframe the question in a different way to get the answers that you need to know whether this applicant is great for your position. So I hope you've enjoyed that super practical episode today. Now, I also have an invitation for you today, and that is to join our closed free private Facebook group, which is just for business owners, leaders and managers who want to connect with each other, ask questions when it comes to things to do with their team, and get support and advice. And I'm in that group all the time, chatting to the members and providing advice and support. So over on Facebook, if you go to Team Footprint in the Facebook groups, you'll find us there, but I'll put a link in today's show notes. We'd love to have you join us over there. It's a great community of business owners and leaders and managers, and we have lots of fun, but we also answer lots of questions. So someone might put in a question about interview questions, and we're in there answering that as well. So if you love practical advice about your people and your team, and you want to connect with others who are interested in the same thing, Team Footprint is our Facebook group, and we would love to welcome you over there. So everything from today's show will be in the show notes. So if you go over to peoplepoweredbusiness.com and click on episode number 35, that's where you'll find all of that. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you have a fabulous rest of your day, and I look forward to chatting with you next week on the People Powered Business Podcast.